Good morning. I was thinking, here we are again, Sunday morning. Been doing this a long time, ain't we? Why do we keep doing this? Yeah, we love the Lord. It's our reasonable service we're going to hear in a little bit. I hope you come wanting to grow in Christ. I hope you come wanting to gain knowledge of the Word of God. And isn't it something, the direction the Lord has taken us this morning? It fits right in with the sermon topic. It's the relevance of the Old Testament. We've seen how powerful the Old Testament preached to us this morning. The value that lies here. What if we never had the Old Testament? What if none of us took the time to look at it, which that goes on today, but what if we never had it? Christ would have been hard to believe, wouldn't it? All he'd done would have been hard to accept, wouldn't it? But we had to know what went on before. We had to know the requirements that people had to have contact with God, let alone a relationship. There really wasn't a personal relationship for those that were outside the tabernacle at all, were they? No, not really. They had to go through this guy who had to go through all this stuff, who had to go through all that stuff, who had to go through a door, and we preached about that last week. Who had to go through a veil that was created this thick or more to separate whom from God? Me. Us. So the only contact I would have with God without Jesus is through word of mouth, through the actions of somebody else. Through the efforts. And we saw in great detail in that video this morning the great efforts that were required just for that one person to hopefully do everything right enough that he could kind of sneak in there. And have a second or two with God. The creator of all. I think about the creator of all a lot anymore. Used to growing up, still do. Hopefully this will encourage the youngins in our group not to take the grass for granted. Not to take the trees for granted. Not to take the sunshine that bears down on us for granted. And not take the opportunities to be sitting among like-minded people as we are here this morning. You're here because you want to be. Now, I remember it was Mom wanted us to be here. Bless her heart. And I wish all those that wanted to be here could be here. Health keeps them away. But I wish that statement. My heart longs for those that could be here, that the desire would be strengthened, that they would be. And I don't mean to sound judgmental at all. Not a bit. Exactly. The point about that statement is, it's not here to please me, it's here for your spiritual growth. Do you want to grow spiritually? Do you? Do you? I do. I remember when I didn't care. I thought, I'm good. I'll go there and sit. Whatever, show up, punch that ticket, and good. So, we talked about being a Christian. We talked about Christian living last week. We've talked about prophecy. We talked about a lot of stuff that's going on that is relevant today. Ken sent me a picture of them working on the water for the rebuilding of the new third temple. Man, it's real, people. It's really happening. I know that a lot of that stuff goes on over there because we don't comprehend it. We're from another culture, whatever. The Old Testament is relevant and talks about what they're doing right now, this very day, in Israel, Jerusalem. So we're going to talk about Christianity. What is Christianity? Well, we first know you got to be a Christian to do that. Well, okay. By the scriptures, yes. By today's standards, no. You can just say, I'm a Christian. Well, maybe not now. Oh, yeah, maybe I am. That's skin deep, folks. That's not Christianity. That's self-uplifting. That's trying to make it okay that what I'm doing is okay because I said I'm a Christian. I can look on the outside of all of y'all. I assume you're Christians, you're here. But I can't see the inside of all of y'all. And there may be somebody here just as lost as anybody could be. Anybody without Christ is lost. You know, I told you one time, I think, I went to church with this lady when we went to Grace Gospel. And Debbie and I had just been married. We went there about 10 years. What a name for a pastor, Bill Angel. He was our pastor. That was his name, really. But anyways, one day in a sermon, he was preaching the gospel, and this lady that had been involved in everything since the time we went there until we had moved on, there was this lady there. One day, she realized she had just said she was a Christian. She had not been born again. She realized that. She grew up in a home and just went to church and just went through the motions, and there you have it. She thought in her head that she was a Christian till she realized in her heart that she was not. She had never been born again, and that lady received the Lord right there. So Christianity. What is Christianity? We're just going to talk real quick. I got a lot of notes, but my throat's kind of sore today, so we'll do what the Lord leads us to do here this morning. Becoming a Christian is not joining a club. Hey, yeah, I was a member of Shepherd's Chapel United Methodist Church 40 years ago. I'm good. I ain't set foot in the doors in that place it's been closed for at least 40 years or 30 years, I reckon. I don't know. But that goes on a lot. You ever talk to the person, and I'm sure I've said it before, talk to the person, you know, about being saved, you a Christian? Yeah, I got a necklace. It's got a cross on it. I got a bumper sticker. My dad was a preacher. How many times you heard that one? That's not Christianity, folks. Yeah, I got a cross in my pocket. Does that make me a Christian? No. That is a cross in my pocket. That is something Doug Fout made and give to me. Now, to me, it has meaning. But to somebody that's lost, it's a cross in my pocket. That's not Christianity. We're going to try to delve into this a little bit today, that we can do better living Christianity. And with the lesson that we had this morning, it should motivate us more and more and more to understand what Christianity is. Of course, we're going to start out reading in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It's going to be very familiar to everyone. Stand when you find that, if you would. And I had a note in my Bible from March the 5th of the year 2000. had it wrote out there, and it took me a while to decipher my own handwriting. Back then, I could see, and I wrote fast and didn't think I'd ever need to remember it. But we got it deciphered, and the note I had right there, up until now, up until verse chapter 12, Romans was about how to be saved and what it meant to be saved. Okay? You remember Romans Rose. You know, it takes you right down to the plan of salvation. It tells us we're lost and undone, separated from God. We need the blood going through. And then what it meant to be saved. And we can go on and on about that. That was touched this morning. But now it's now the duties of one that is saved. Okay? Now we've done determined who's saved, who ain't saved. Everybody says they're a Christian. Is not saved. Okay? We got to know that. We got to admit that. Oh, that might be offensive. I'm offended by that. Well, take it up with the Lord. If that offends you, get saved. Because if that offends you, you're probably not saved. You're probably just saying, I'm a Christian. Anyways, now the duties of one that is saved. Verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to those that are saved. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's directly to you and me. Directly. It's not, don't look at me pointing at him. It's to me. It's to Jamie. It's to Larry. It's to every one of you. It is. That's the word of God. That's not some crazy guy up front pointing fingers at people. Read it yourself. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is what? That's reasonable service. It's not, I'm not doing God a favor by getting up and going to church. I'm not doing God a favor by putting money in the pot. I'm not doing God a favor by doing anything. My reasonable service is to worship Him, to praise Him, and to serve Him, and to read His Word, and to share the gospel, and assemble myself together with like-minded folks. That's Christianity. That is what we're talking about. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he's talking about how we were created before the fall. Perfect will. You suppose he put any flaws in Adam and Eve? Nope. Everybody said, well, they sinned. He made them perfect. And that was with a free will.
And the Spirit left them.
And the Spirit left them. When they done their own thing, the Spirit was gone. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Well, I'm a Christian, I go to there, I do this, I do that. I'm building myself up pretty good, ain't I? That's not Christianity. But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of his faith. Let us pray. Lord, again, we're just gathered together here in your name this morning. God, I thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness here this day. I thank you for guiding us with your Holy Spirit, guiding us yourself. Because it is a personal relationship. We pray right now that these words will fall on receptive hearts, and there will be only words from you and bring glory and honor to you. And again, I ask for you to be with our pastor today and his family and all they're going through, Lord. Just lift them up, strengthen them, give them a hug. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now again, I beseech you, beg, in trust, exhort. Now Paul is telling the Christians of the time, come on, man. Come on. We can do better as Christians. We can do better to share Christianity. In the world, on the big scale, we're a hate group. And by some regards, those that are judgmental, those that are critical, maybe they are. But Christianity, from the Word of God, we are not a hate group. We are under attack because it's different than the world standards want to be. How do we handle dealing with others in different situations? Now, what come to my mind, you know, if you're out in the world very long, if you're in a group of people, you're always going to hear this and that and whatever, but it's, they done that to me, so I'm going to do that to them. That's not Christianity. That is a world standard. I hope you agree. I do. I hope you agree. Or I hope this strikes a nerve if you don't. I remember telling this young fella the other day, he was talking like that, and I said, no, remember, you're not accountable for what that guy does. Not accountable. He has to answer to his creator. You're accountable for you. So if I'm doing something vindictive, I'm doing it to satisfy me. If I do what's right inside of the Lord, that'll take care of itself. I hope you all agree with that. That's the main thing I've been dwelling on for a week or so about this. Because I see, you know, we have all seen Christians carry on in that manner. I've carried on in that manner. Thank God for the convicting of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for putting a desire in me to change my thought process, for change my first words that fly out of this tongue that is a terrible tool if it's not a control. So we're going to talk a little bit about some characteristics of being a Christian or Christianity. Christianity starts with a new birth. What? A new birth. Can I be born again? How can a man be born again? Have you ever heard that before? Huh? I think it's in the Word of God, isn't it? That might be John chapter 3. There it is. John chapter 3 says, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We can stop right there. That's pretty clear. That's pretty basic. You can't go there if you don't do this. But that's just the way it is. That's it. Cut and dry. That's right. Ye must be born again. So what's that mean to be born again? And Nicodemus, one of the wise men, don't you know a lot of wise men today? Don't you know a lot of they just know a little bit about everything. Not that I'm calling out Rodney, but I remember him telling me. Now I remember him telling me when I was little, there was an old crow stopped at the house and dropped me off. Yeah. And I believed him. I believed everything he said. Love you, brother. But Nicodemus questioned that. And as we read on, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born of water as we all were. Is anybody here that was born without a mother, that a mother didn't deliver? We all know the old-fashioned way from a God-created woman to have a baby. Everybody came that route, right? Okay. So you can't undo that, right? Your mom is your mom is your mom, whether you like them or not, whether you even know them or not. We live in a world today, a lot of kids don't even know who their biological mother was. Thank God for saints that want to step up and help out. But that's a whole other thing. So, we must be born again. That is born of the Spirit. That is when we have fully accepted what Jesus has done. That's when we set aside all of our things. We've repented. When I realized, Jamie, you're a bad boy. Jamie, you stole. Jamie, you lied. Jamie, you done this and you done that. And you are lost and undone because of Adam and Eve's fall in the Garden of Eden. I got to realize that. It's when I realize that, and I hit that place, and I fall on my face. I am humbled. I lay everything I got in me out. I'm not coming up here putting on a show. I'm coming up here and showing my heart to God, the God that loves me.
Amen.
It's not an act of physical. It is a spiritual act. When you believe deep in your heart that you are in a hopeless state, and you accept Jesus as your Savior. That is Christianity. That is being born again. Okay? That was step one. And I'm going to say step one just because I ain't smart enough to think better words. Number two, spiritual growth. And we talk a lot about spiritual growth. I know in my own personal life, my spiritual growth has happened more on Wednesday night and Sunday night because of the depth that we go into the Word. The depth that Greg took us this morning, that is spiritual growth depth right there. To help us comprehend, I heard Miss Patty compliment on that lesson. And she's been a Christian for what, 152, a few years? But she was moved when she saw in that video with her eyes the action of what Jesus actually did for us. We see a bloody man hanging on the cross, okay. Man, we can't take it for granted. That's not Christianity. We don't see the depth of our sin that was magnified. The depth of our sin. They were so bad, we are so bad that we couldn't come into the presence of God.
Amen.
That's how deep your sin is, folks. That's how far it goes. That's how far away from God you are without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the efforts that were made by what He done. And that depth, that spiritual growth could be accomplished today by knowing, renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. That is learning the knowledge of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will guide that knowledge into wisdom. And the wisdom is saying, wow, Jesus done that? Yeah, well, I thought He just got beat and went to the cross and humiliated and hung up there and shed His blood and thrown in a hole covered with a rock. Ain't that enough? But a lot of folks see it that way. It's just a story. It's just what happened back then. No, it's Christianity is accepting that fully and completely into your heart and into your life and realizing that's the only way. That's the only hope that you have in this life is what Jesus Christ done. That's Christianity. It's not being a member of a party. It's not being anything. It is being born again. It is being seeking spiritual growth. We all want to grow, right?
Amen.
I hope you want to grow because you need to. We need to. Again, I'm not standing here saying you need to because I know you're not growing, because I don't know that. But God does. Christianity is seeking spiritual growth. New garments. What? New garments. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, 10 and 11 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Wouldn't you be that when you get saved? When you realize what has just happened? For he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud. Think about what's going on out there. What we're seeing right now. The fall colors. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it beautiful? Man can't do that. That didn't happen by accident. You remember when you couldn't even call her in the lines? Remember that? Those lines are perfect. All the time and every time. We'll go through stages where we can't get in the lines, and then we hit a stage where we get in the lines, and then we'll come back to that stage where we might have a little shake. Might have a little of this. Don't put your trust in that. Put your trust in the perfect lines outside. It says, and as a garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Now, Christianity. Now, if you're I know we'll blend in. I've got a testimony, a guy at Ames. I worked with him for several years. And then one day I looked at him and he was different. I didn't know what. I didn't like the guy. I could get along with him. I didn't like him. We couldn't be friends or nothing. And he was different. What was different about him? What'd you do? He said, I got saved. He was dressed differently. I ran into a guy I played football with in high school, graduated with, run around with, done a lot of things with. I hadn't seen him for years. He'd moved away, worked for a major corporation, whatever. He was one of the smart ones. But anyways, when he come back, a high school playoff football game was at Ripley. We're up in the bleachers. Like I said, I hadn't seen him in, it was probably in 90, so I probably hadn't seen him in 15 years. He had new clothes on. And how did I know? I could see it. I could see his dress. I could hear it in his words. I could feel it in his actions. You get where I'm coming from, folks? That's Christianity. Okay, next. How about a radiant life? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, 16, I think it is. Let your light so shine before men. How often have we heard that? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I ain't going to sing the rest of it, but hide it under something? A bushel, right. Do we do that? No. He's telling us to let your light shine, that people will see what? Not see you. When people look upon me or you, don't you want them to see Jesus? Don't you want to see who saved your soul. You know what you want to see is the new birth, the new clothes, the spiritual growth. Don't you want them to see that? You want to be that light. That a light unto the world. That's used a lot. And I was thinking last night about the light, you know, the sunlight that illuminates everything, that has way more need than just to give us light to see. It is part of the system, the perfect order system that God has created for plants to grow and all this. That light reflects whom? The Creator. How about this light reflect our Savior? Character, number 5. Matthew 7, 24. I'll try to be quickly. 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. How often do we talk about the Christian foundation? Christianity is built upon that rock, and it is not a rock that I laid, that you laid, Drift Run laid, anybody else laid. That is a rock of Jesus Christ, the rock of salvation, the only place that Christianity can stand firm and not be moved. That's Christianity, folks. That's where your feet need to be planted, on the rock. We call the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ. We call the head of the body of Christ, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. See a pattern here? In the Sermon on the Mount, the radiant life, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because doesn't it say if I'm boasting on something I have done in front of you all, right there's my reward. That was it. Attaboy. Everybody's got a closet full of attaboys, don't they? Yeah, I got a few today, I got a few. You know, it takes you 10 years to get an attaboy and about 30 seconds to lose 100. Do everything you do for the glory of Jesus Christ to bring attention and focus not on me, but on Jesus. That's Christianity. Okay, about done on page 2. And these are incredible right here. John 1:12. And try to wrap your mind around this, because a human mind won't be able to wrap their mind around this, only through spiritual growth. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? Sons of God. Who died on the cross for you? The Son of God. We become heirs. Wow. How can I do that? Do I gotta do this? Go to Africa? Do $100 a month? Pay the radio station? Blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. It's to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You become a Son of God. In a politically correct world, persons of God. We'll leave that alone too, right? Won't we, ladies? We know our place, right? We do. We know we're all one. Okay. I hear yawning. I'll hurry. Colossians 2:6. But eat on this. Think about this when you're laying down this afternoon, take your little nap. Think about, if nothing else, the Sunday school class. A new walk. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Look at your steps. Just look back through the week. How's your steps line up with Jesus steps. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that day, and I repent of that day, and wish I hadn't said that day. That's Christianity. How do we know how Jesus walks? Studying the Word of God.
Amen.
By digging in. By having determined. Just be determined. I don't feel like it. Well, do it anyways.
Right.
How often have you made yourself go to church? I don't feel like it. I don't want to go. I feel justified in my excuse not to go. But I'm going anyways. Has anybody ever regretted that? I know I haven't. And I sure know I've regretted the other a lot. Oh, man, church was good tonight. Well, if you'd have been there, you'd have known what happened. Two more. Got two more. Number 13, Hebrews. And after the morning lesson, Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God on the throne. Now, shouldn't that motivate you? Shouldn't that clarify Christianity is seeking that? Shouldn't that, after the lesson this morning, to help you to understand? Don't you appreciate what he done for you? Christianity is living a life of appreciation for what Jesus did. And that should be enough. Oh, I didn't get this my way, that way. That testimony of Linda's. We're not to be glorified for saving folks. That is our reasonable service. God will be glorified. And look what happened. That one man, that one family, their effort, saved one kid. And they was disappointed because they didn't see the results. How often have you been disappointed in something because you didn't see the results? Christianity is knowing the results will be good if it's bringing glory and honor to God. We got to know that. Christianity is living a life like that. Not expecting those attaboys. Those are crowns laid up in heaven. And finally, assurance. Assurance. I think I preached one time on the difference between insurance and assurance. Insurance is something that pays if you need it. Assurance is something that's already paid. Okay, so Christianity has been. There's no other religions, and I'm not even saying there's any other gods, but in the world's culture, you know, it's all this, that, all the different ways. None of them can preach assurance. Why? Because they can't. John 17, 1 through 5 says, "And these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." Jesus himself, God in the flesh, Jesus the man, is saying, do what you will, so I can bring glory to you. Christianity is us living a life of obedience and saying, God, do what you will with me. I'm available. I'm willing that you might be glorified.
Amen.
Not to bring glory to me, not to make anything out of us, but to bring glory to him. And thou hast given him power over all flesh. And when he says thou hast given him power, he's referring to himself. Over all flesh, he's referring to God the Son, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. We know there's only one God. We know there's the creator of all. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Okay, now this is Jesus talking. But he's talking about himself. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's what Jesus did. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I have with thee before the world was. He did exactly what we learned, even though he is God himself. I just don't know if I could add any words to that. Christianity is about Jesus. Amen. Christianity is about what he done and what he done. That's it. Where's he at? We know he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And in closing, Hebrews chapter 10. I think we got into it a little bit this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14 through 25. Now, as we read over this, think of the video that you saw. Think of what they went through just to get a one-time few seconds in the presence of the Lord when we read this. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, made holy, separate, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Now, he's got to be talking about Christians there, because if you're not a Christian, you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. The Word of God. It's Christianity. It's not making your own way. It's not making it up as you go. It's not how you dress, how you comb your hair, how you look. It's being born again. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And we learned that. They done it, had to do it over and over and over and over and over, and they continued to have to do it over and over and over, because every time they did it, was only good for that, and it wasn't good for Jesus. We know he did it once. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Amen. And having an high priest over the house of God, and we know that's referring to Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. And that word took on a new meaning after that lesson this morning. They sprinkled that blood. Wow. Jesus done that. My heart has been sprinkled. By whom? Not by a man. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts have been sprinkled by the creator of all, by the giver of life, by Jesus. Think about that all day. Think about that. Wow. Wow, that's powerful. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. And let us consider one to another to provoke unto love and to good works. Encourage. Man, I need your encouragement. I do. I'm on the verge of depression most of the time in my life. I need Jesus. I need friends and loved ones. I need provoked unto love and to good works. For not forsaking, we're going to close right here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. And in closing with that statement right there, that clarifies that going to church don't save you. You go to church because you're saved to grow, to renew your mind, to be transformed to what we was. A lot of us probably wouldn't like each other if we were what we was. I know my friend at Ames, we was good friends. We're still friends today. And anytime we come together, the Spirit stirs our hearts and we talk about Christianity. If you want to come and get a, we'll do an overhead. Yeah. I hope this stirred your heart. I went over it a little bit, but you know, I told Debbie, I said, man, this is good. Yeah, I had a lot of notes. I had more notes than I had in probably a year. God is good. God is powerful. And we need to know that, and we need to live a life that reflects that. That's Christianity. Christianity is not what the world says it is. You can ask a lost person, and they'll say, man, I thought he was a Christian. How does he know what a Christian's supposed to be? They have their own standard for you. That's not Christianity. Christianity is the standard we just talked about from the Word of God.